I'm going to read verse 1 to 10 of Psalm 46. So lots about God, lots about who he is, lots about his sovereignty. And in verse 10, what's the response? Let's be still, isn't it? No peace. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. For the past 3 weeks, we've been thinking about growth because God wants us to grow. He wants his people to grow. 1 Peter 2, grow up in salvation. Ephesians 4, grow up in every way, in Christ, in the fullness of him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, the Bible, which teaches us, trains us, rebukes us. As we open it now, help us to understand and respond. Help us to grow. Amen. In Titus chapter 2, Paul says, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from wickedness. Christians being saved from the consequences of our sins, what our sins deserve, is truly remarkable, truly wonderful, isn't it? We can never move on from how amazing that is. It's absolutely huge. But it's not the whole story. Paul continues, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. We are saved from sin. We are saved for godliness. Saved to be a people growing in the likeness of Jesus, which is why being a Christian is not about getting a ticket for heaven and then just doing what we wish as we wait. Conversion is just the start of the journey of growth. And we are to grow in godliness. And growth, as we've seen, is a few things. It's movement. Growth is steps towards God. Growth is a process which takes time. And if we had a spiritual growth chart, which we do, if we had one, instead of markings of height on the growth chart, well, it would be spiritual landmarks, wouldn't it? Spiritual landmarks in our lives. That the period, perhaps, where we stopped swearing, where our mouth was cleaned up. Maybe on the chart would be the day we first went to the prayer meeting. Perhaps the day we first understood the doctrine of election. Maybe the day that we first started giving to the church. And growth is visible. Jesus taught for transformation, didn't he? He often said things like, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do what I say? He also said, well, whoever hears these words and puts them into practice is wise. They are the one building on the rock for the day of judgment. Jesus was never just dishing out information. He was always after response. He was after people's hearts, wasn't he? As ELO sang, it's a living faith. It's real. It's visible. It's why Christians should be such a blessing to the communities God has placed us in. We should live such good lives among the unbelievers, that whilst they might not understand what we're on about and never come into this building, actually they say, yeah, those Christians are decent. At work, they're really good for staff morale. They don't cause fractured relationships with gossip, and they really love their children. They put themselves out for their children, and they're so peace-filled. They don't even stress about their children's sats or exams. Growth in godliness causes God's people to live out the gospel, which creates further gospel opportunities, doesn't it? And in a word, what is growing in us is faith. faith is to be growing, because faith, a restored trust in God, that which was broken back in Eden, well, that's what we need, isn't it? We need big faith that takes God at his word, so that every area of our lives comes under his control. Our use of time, our use of our money, how we think about other people, how we forgive other people. Growing faith means our actions and our reactions are increasingly under the Holy Spirit's control and guidance. So men, as you get older and tend to have a bit more clout in society, Paul says, don't throw your weight around. Don't abuse power or position, but be temperate, be gentle. Set a good example. Younger men, be self-controlled. When we cycle out in the roads, wait at the red light. Instead of just drifting through like most cyclists do, causing the queuing motorist to touch. Mm. Typical cyclist. Christians, we're not typical cyclists. We're Jesus cyclists, aren't we? People changed by him. Growing affects every area of our lives. And we need growth's partnership, don't we? Paul planted, Apollos watered, and we are to teach and help. A priesthood of believers, spurring one another on to love and good works. And God brings the growth, doesn't he? But growth requires action. I mean, wouldn't it be great to have a garden where you didn't have to do any work? A wonderful, tidy, cultivated place you could just enjoy, but no hard work needed. Well, there is a product. Has anyone heard of AstroTurf? Yeah, yeah. Here we go. Just lay it out. No mowing, no watering, just enjoy. She looks really pleased with her AstroTurf. But how many of us have AstroTurfed our gardens? Anyone AstroTurf their garden? That's zero. That's zero. None. But, I mean, it does cost quite a lot, doesn't it? But mostly because it's false, isn't it? It's not the same. And because we like the real thing in our gardens, of course we do, we have to get active, we have to work hard, don't we? Because when we neglect our gardens, well, the grass grows out of control. The weeds get out of hand as well, don't they? And of course, that can be our spiritual lives, can't it? If we neglect our spiritual condition, we easily become entangled with weeds of all sorts. We get lazy at times. And we kind of want to have the benefits of being a Christian. All the benefits, but actually without the hard work of keeping in spiritual shape. But growth requires action on our part. Cultivating work in a particular area of our lives. At home, I like a bit of lawn care. But of late, the surface treatment I'm doing on the grass is being undermined because there's kind of mining down under the surface. So I'm busy on top. I'm cutting, I'm feeding and watering. I'm looking at my wife. But underneath, there's some excavation project going on. It's ants mucking about down there. They're chucking up all this fine soil in little kind of mini molehills, mounds all over the lawn. So I'm doing stuff on top, but they're undoing what's going on? So I need to get deeper, don't I? We'll go into that. And it's the same for our spiritual lives, though. For us to grow in godliness, just dealing with the surface problems is not enough, is it? So I know I mustn't swear, so I have a swear box. I mustn't gossip. Okay, so some sort of gossip monitor, maybe a friend or something. I mustn't lust online, so okay, chuck the computer out. And of course, taking steps to fight sin is a good idea. But on its own, it's not enough. Because it's not getting deep enough, is it? It's not getting to the cause of the problem. Where does swearing, gossip, lusting, problem come from? Jesus says these things flow out of our hearts. And Jesus used a simple but brilliant illustration of a fruit tree, didn't he? If you would, please turn to Luke chapter 6. That's page 1034 in the church Bibles. So Luke chapter 6, verse 43. And no tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Verse 44, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. You think, yeah, we get that. How do you recognize an apple tree grows apples? You kind of know it's apple-y right to the core because it grows apples. But to steal a popular illustration, imagine in our garden we had an apple tree, but it produces terrible apples, horrible, hard, tiny, bitter, off-color apples. And it's so frustrating because year after year, this apple tree in the garden produces these rancid apples. And Nicola says, come on, let's do something about it, which really is code for you do something about it. So Saturday, Nicola looks out the window to see me with a ladder, some cutters, a nail gun, and three baskets of Tesco's finest red rosy apples. I put the ladder against the tree. I climb up. I spend an hour cutting off the bad apples and nailing on all these red rosy apples all over the tree. People from a distance, of course, see and think, wow, what a nice apple tree. Nicola looks out the window and thinks it's time to call the doctor. He's finally flipped. Now, of course, stapling apples to the tree is never going to work, is it? The tree might look okay for a while, but next year what's going to happen? It'll be those hard, small, sharp apples again. Why? Because the problem is much deeper, isn't it? The problem's deeper than the branches. To get to the problem, we go to the root. We need to get to the heart. And verse 45 of Luke 6, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. To grow in godliness, we don't get apple nailing. The action doesn't go deep enough to grow us. Action is good, not saying it's not, but we need to go deeper. How does God grow us? Well, we are looking at these five conditions, sort of main conditions really, that God uses to grow his people. This is what we're looking at, and next week is our last week on this. And growing in godliness doesn't just happen automatically, but there does seem to be some particular environments in which we can grow, I suppose, means of grace, we sometimes use the phrase. So we need to be putting ourselves under the transforming power of God's preached word. That is what we looked at on the first week. We need to be allowing him to stretch our faith by serving his purposes and getting serving in the church. That is what we looked at last week. And for today, we need to be engaged in private disciplines. Private disciplines. Now, there comes a point in the life of a Christian where they begin to read the Bible for themselves. Where they begin to actually search the Bible for themselves on their own. Memorize it. There comes a time in a Christian where they make time to be alone with God. Why? Because they want to. Because they love to. And because they know they need to. They know there's this utter dependency, this weakness, this big problem, and we need God's word. And through this private time with the Lord, God grows our faith. In the parable of the sower, the new little seedlings are in all different places, aren't they? Which is the point of the parable. But they have shallow roots, don't they? And they're weak and they're vulnerable to different things that come along, so some get frazzled, some get choked up by difficulty. But in Psalm 1, there is a tree. There's a tree beside a stream, and it's very strong. Let's turn to Psalm 1, if you would. Psalm chapter 1. You'll read verses 1 to 3. Psalms is pretty much bang in the middle of the Bible. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. This tree, this Christian, is next to the life source, aren't they? Plugged in, close. That's why they're strong. That's why they're fruitful. That's why they don't wither. That's why they've grown. And time alone with God grows our faith to be tree-like. Perhaps you know a Christian who you see their life, you look at them, you talk to them, and you know them, and you just think they just seem unshakable. They just seem wise. There's always godly reactions going on in them. But there's no secret. There's no big secret here. It's simply there's a direct link between a person's devotional life with the Lord and their faith. Because when intimacy with God is fostered, we grow. The most important relationship in our lives is our personal relationship with Jesus. And the health of any relationship, of course, is affected by time together. There's no time together. There's a problem, isn't there? So as our devotional life goes, well, so goes our faith. So why is time alone with God so important? Firstly, to find our delight in our Father, who he is, his works, his love, his salvation in Christ. Before we launch in the day and make the error of thinking this or that thing deserves my praise and should get it, we need to fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Enjoy him. Find our joy in him. Remind ourselves of our identity in him, who we are, our satisfaction. We also go into our rooms and close the door, as Jesus says, so that we know peace. Peace in our hearts. The turbulence of the day and the sin within it and us is about to rush upon us. It's about to threaten our peace as his children. So we take time to be still and know that he is God. Know that he is sovereign. That the things that will come our way in the day, which of course we don't know what's going to come our way, but we can have a decent guess. Those things coming our way aren't by chance. So we resolve to trust him. Not to escape in some sinful way. But we resolve to trust. We refuse to be disheartened, but rather see trials ahead, even though we don't know what they are, as opportunities to grow in faith. We seek God in private as well, so that we die. So that we die, lose our life for his sake. Whoever would follow me must deny themselves. It's the living sacrifice thing, isn't it, of Romans 12. My life for you today, Lord. I die to self, my life for you. You've stood in my place. You have saved me from the consequences my sin deserves. Now I die afresh today. I die to the sin of self. We know what we're like, don't we? It's all about us, unless this happens. Sin wages war against us and within us as well. We spend time alone to get weeding. Heart weeding. I didn't say reading. I'll say that in a minute. Weeding. Because little weeds of sin grow into big weeds that control us. So there may be some of us this morning who know there's some sins in our lives that really have grown out of control. They've got so big and so strong in us. Well, those little weeds will grow into big weeds unless we do heart weeding. Daily time of confession, repentance, dying to sin, turning from that thing that maybe captivates us as it shouldn't. We seek God also to see the devil, which sounds a bit strange. But the thing is, whilst we're seeking to grow in our faith, to grow as his people, there is an enemy that prowls around, isn't there? Like a lion, to devour. What is the devil trying to devour? He's trying to devour our faith. He's trying to eat it up. So it is wise each morning to take time to ready ourselves, anticipate the subtle and not so subtle tripwires that he's going to set up for us in the day. Kind of what fiery darts has he got specially for me today, likely to have? What are my particular weaknesses? What is it? Is it I love money too much? Is it approval I have a problem with? Is it gossip that's going to be a problem for me today? Is it laziness? What is it? It's going to hit me again. How am I going to respond in that moment? Far better we see the issues ahead and prepare ourselves. Someone said it's better we set the sails in the harbour than in the middle of the storm. Christians It's wise we identify. We get thinking, our thinking right in the mornings, realistic, honest with ourselves, and so that we pray for wisdom, we pray for help, we remind ourselves that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Because it doesn't feel it, does it, sometimes? It really doesn't. We spend time getting our spiritual armour on. This is the longest quiet time in the world we've just gone through, isn't it? We'll come to quiet times in a minute. But we should get our spiritual armour on in the mornings. The sword, God's word on our lips. Our minds secure in salvation. Our hearts covered, knowing that we are his children. In Christ, we are righteous. And we really need to hold on to that, don't we? That's essential, that we know we're made right in the midst of struggles. The truth needs to be holding us together like that belt. And big faith, that shield defending us, and feet ready to go with the gospel, all covered in prayer, so that we can stand and face the day as his people. Private disciplines are things done in secret. There's no danger. If it's done in secret, there's no danger of putting on a show, is there? A show for others. It's just us and God. And private disciplines includes giving. And the point about giving financially to the Lord's work is, of course, money helps further the purposes of God's kingdom. And also, as we trust God with our finances, as we give generously, seeing that his kingdom come, his will be done, is the thing. It's the only plan. As we trust him with our finances, as our fingers are prized off the things that we love, our faith grows, because our money loses a grip on us, doesn't it? But keeping in spiritual shape requires discipline. Please turn to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, Church Bibles, page 1193. Verse 7. Right at the end of that verse, Paul says, train yourselves to be godly. Verse 8, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. So fitness fanatics amongst us, you've got the right idea, but we mustn't get the balance wrong. And we do quite often, don't we? Because godliness has value for all of life. It's not about bigger muscles. God knows when he'll take us to glory. It's not about trying to live longer. Oh, we look after ourselves. It's of some value. But godliness has value for all of life. So heart training must come above physical training. And as an athlete is disciplined in training, as some of us are disciplined in going for jogs and so on, so we need to be disciplined in our time with the Lord. Disciplined in our time with the Lord. Reading God's word, praying, and morning is best. It's amazing, isn't it, how we can backslide in the night in our sleep. I don't know about you, we can go to bed fairly happy, say a little prayer of thanks for the day, and wake up in a foul mood. Unless we allow God to retune our hearts to him, we can actually continue the day like that, can't we? We need to pray. If Jesus slipped away to pray, I mean, how much more do we need to? And the Lord's Prayer is not so much for us to recite, but it's a pattern to use. There's some big prayers in the Bible as well. We should be using them. Wonderful prayers. Nehemiah chapter 1, Daniel 9, Jonah. These are on a sheet I'm going to say something about in a moment. Jesus' prayer in John 17. Paul's prayers in the epistles. Let's pray them. Let's pray big prayers as well. It's easy, isn't it, when we come to pray for things about ourselves or about granny and so on. And it's right we do that. But we should pray big. Pray for God's glory. Pray for the advance of the gospel. Pray for the coming of the kingdom. Pray for the salvation of sinners. Pray for joy in Christ in our own lives. Pray for holiness in the church. Pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit that will be growing in that. Lastly, I'd just like us to have a think about quiet times. And thanks for the ideas that many of you shared in a recent prayer meeting when I shoved a bit of paper towards you and asked if you wouldn't mind sharing what you do in your quiet time, if you can give anything helpful. It's all anonymous, so don't worry, I'm not going to say anything, but you might recognise yours here if you're a part of that. Many of you have established quiet times, and that's great, but it can help to have different ideas. I find it quite helpful sort of every 3 months to sort of change the quiet time pattern, something a little bit fresh helps me. I'm just going to whiz through a load of ideas and thoughts that I've got and have received as well. I've put them in a handout as well, private disciplines, front and back. So all I'm going to say now is on there, and some of what I just said about prayer as well. So I'm going to go fast. So sorry, by all means, write some things down if you can, but it's all on there, so you can just listen if you want to. So reading through the Bible in a year is a good thing to do. Three chapters from the Old Testament, one from the New every day. That will pretty much get you through the whole Bible in a year. And there's other ways of doing it. But then again, reading four chapters of the Bible in a day can make reading the Bible a rush, can't it? And you can lose depth. But what you lose in depth as you read four chapters a day, you gain in kind of getting a sweep of the Bible, if you like. And if you do that year on year on year, and some of you I know have read the Bible every year for years, well, actually, suddenly what happens is this big book that intimidates us and we don't kind of know where this, that, suddenly it all starts to fit together. It starts to become familiar. So I encourage you and myself, read the Bible through in a year. The plan is actually from the beginning of September, we're going to try and read the Bible through together in a year. It's not a must, it's if you'd like to. There'll be a load of people encouraging one another as we do that. More on that nearer the time. Some quick fire ideas and tips for quiet times. Read a psalm with the praise songbook to hand, because the beginning of the praise songbook has numbers 1 to 150. That's Psalms 1 to 150. Daily bread on a device. Sing in quiet times. A lot of you sing in your quiet times. I do as well. It doesn't so quiet then, is it? But you can sing in your heart. Time alone, certainly shut the door for that one. Sing and then be quiet and listen, someone's put. Devotions with a spouse or others in the house. Use a church prayer list. We have a prayer list with each of our names on it. And the Grace Baptist Mission booklet as well. Barnabas prayer list as well. Actually, this, here it is. This lives in the toilet. Actually, it does transform my toilet going. Because when I go to the toilet, it's not, it's who am I going to pray for today? It's just a little short chunk. It's absolutely perfect. It really has transformed my toileting habits. So have something in the toilet, and have that in the toilet as well, because it takes you out of this country. It takes you to real suffering Christians in the world. That's the Barnabas. Again, it's on the sheet. Someone's put pray when doing a specific thing. So whenever they dry their hair, every time they dry their hair, they're praying. That's a really good idea. We all do certain things, don't we? Well, why don't you use that time to pray? Washing up, the cutlery could be a certain group of people to pray for. That could be your family when you get onto the plates. Or that could be the church family. The cups could be the... A CD or a sermon in the car, listening to. Carefully not to drop off to the sermon in the car. Pray while driving, no closing eyes. Pray before reading a passage, absolutely great advice. The Bible is hard to understand, isn't it? We need the Spirit's help. Have a prayer diary, have a prayer journal. Very good advice. Track what the Lord's been doing. We've actually been doing this in our prayer meetings as a church. And we prayed over the last 6 months for two specific things. And both have been answered. And together we're thinking, well, that's really exciting. It's worth journaling. It's worth tracking our prayers. Pray over a psalm. Pray a passage in, is the kind of phrase goes. Pray aloud, someone's put, because that helps focus. You actually hear the prayer as well as you're saying the prayer. Pray for your neighbours. One morning a week. Have different things each day to pray for. Make one of them your neighbours 1 week. A quiet time outside can help. A comfy chair, someone else has put. Somewhere not disturbed, absolutely. First thing and last thing in the day. Have a good book on the go, someone else has put. And on this note as well, yes, have a good book on the go, but don't be tempted to substitute the good book in place of the Bible. And on the subject of books and daily notes, let me just say they're great. They're really good. But because the hard work, the study over the passage has often been done for you, that's what we like about them, isn't it? Because they're helpful, they're quite quick. But actually, it can be easy with kind of daily bread and so on, those sorts of things, to kind of go through them mechanically and get to the end and think, what did I just read? I don't actually remember a word. Maybe it's just me, but we want the Lord's word to land on our hearts. We want to go away from our time on our knees with a spring in our step spiritually, don't we? We want the Lord to move our hearts. So there's something to be said for digging for ourselves in the Bible, isn't there? That grows us more. So reading the Bible for ourselves is good. But again, if you just pick up a passage, or I'm going to read through Leviticus, again, speak for myself, you can end up finish reading it and you think, I actually haven't taken in a thing that I just read. But here's one idea to help with that. Again, it's one idea among many, to run some questions over a passage. So read a passage and run questions over it can really help. So in this passage, where's the example to follow? Where's the command to obey? Where's the error in here to avoid? Where's the sin to forsake? Where's the promise to claim? Is there something new about God that I've learned from this passage? And see, running these questions over a passage is really good because it means you'll read and you'll reread and you'll reread, which helps you dig. And it will give you your applications for prayer after reading God's word. More tips. If in the mornings you're in a rush, try it. Just find something to delight your heart that will launch you into the day. Find some way of seeing Christ, loving Christ and being more like him. Just those three. Or there's three R's: remember, recognize, and resolve. So just if you're in a hurry, just remember something about the Lord. What is it about him? Recognize the call on our lives. What is his call on our lives? What is the battle I face? Resolve to serve. What will I do today? How will I respond? If you're slightly less rushed, why not begin and end each day with a P? That's easy to remember, isn't it? First morning P is one psalm. And last P before bed is a chapter of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters. You just keep going round and round, 150 psalms. Psalm in the morning, chapter of Proverbs in the evening. Stand you in great stead. On the Joshua, as for me and my house, Bible verse that we looked at in the children's talk, parents, let me really encourage you to find a way to be and lead your children daily in the Lord. Parents, it is our responsibility. And they need both our godly example and they need teaching. They need God's word. So parents, let's make time to read the Bible to them. I brought a couple of things. I'll leave them here after if you're interested. I think this Candle Classic Children's Bible is really good. It does leave some aspects of the Bible out. But what I really like is, it sounds like a salesman talk, doesn't it? What I really like is these small chunks. So just before bed or at some point, it's so easily sectioned up for you. And it is the whole Bible, pretty much. It's really good. Another thing that we got recently is the Action Bible. It's cost £12. Worth every penny. It is a graphic Bible, children. You've got really young ones. Some of the pictures might be. You want to check them out first. But I'm finding this very, very helpful to go through that. And again, you're going through the whole Bible. It's a visual age. Children learn visually, don't they, these days? All the time. That's what they do. So I encourage you to find something that works for you. Find some way of using some sort of notes. There's loads of things. Again, I'll leave some here. Let's fill the house with pointers to Jesus. Music on, pictures, text on the wall. Grandparents as well. With permission, obviously, be a grandparent in the Lord to your grandchildren. Remember Timothy. He learned from his grandmother Lois. Last one, I'm very nearly finished. Let me try and show you this epic from Rico Tice. So he's a pastor in London, has come out with some very helpful stuff, not least the Christianity Explored stuff. He has this circular devotion he calls Looking in the Mirror Before You Go, Before You Look Out of the Window. And this is great because this is about God's word first, controlling all you do and say. It's meant to have a circle around the whole lot, by the way. I just ran out of time. And the circle around the lot is the environment, and coming in are the things you put that pressure you in your environment. And that's helpful as well as you go through it. Just very quickly, so first of all, he says, get your thinking right. First thing in a quiet time, allow God's word to speak into, and there's these various things. Sorry if you can't read it. Again, it's on the sheet. Who Jesus is, who am I, what does God think of me, what is my purpose, what's the devil's plan for me? And then to that affects and adjusts my feelings. well, I know what my feelings are like. My tendency is to be controlling. My tendency is to anger or self-pity or lust. What are my weaknesses? Well, how do I feel? I've just read God's word. How do I feel about it now? How will I feel today? I'm going to this is kind of resolving stuff. And feelings speak into my behavior. So, okay, what am I going to do? What action am I going to take today? How am I going to live for the Lord today? What am I likely to face? What are things that trip me up spiritually? How will I respond? Pressure issues. And then lastly, he says, don't ignore physical health. Have enough sleep. Have enough exercise. Water, recreation. Are you doing something in a day that's fun, that you enjoy doing with someone else? Is there some moment in the day you can do that? Of course, if we don't get much sleep, we really struggle, don't we? And we can't expect to really, you know, live for the Lord very well if we've hardly had any sleep. What might happen amongst us if we all spent time fostering a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? What might happen in our community? Let us all be growing in godliness. Let us make time alone with the Lord. We're going to sing two songs. The first one, we're going to stay sitting down to be in your presence. And then we'll stand and sing the hymn, Take Time to Be Holy. And then I'll close the service. So we're going to sing To Be in Your Presence, and then we'll stand to sing a second song.